Dear Father Vasquez, dear Susie and all colleagues working on the next step, congratulations, Shnora Vorella, 10 years now that you've been sending out those podcasts to our inboxes. I enjoy them. I enjoy them for many reasons, not least because at times you push the envelope. You are counterintuitive. And I think we need a dose of that every now and then to get us out of our drudgery, out of our own thoughts and perceptions. So thank you, not only for what you've said, not only for what you've done, but all those who've contributed to the next step as well. The last podcast you sent me, I must admit that I perked up when I heard you mentioning Annie's bubbles. So 10 years. In wedding terms, that's an aluminum jubilee. Let's hope you'll add another 10 to those so that more and more people will come to realize what Armodoxy means and how it fits into the very core of our Christian faith. Once again, all the best to you from a cloudy London in England. My name is Harry Hagopian, and I've been following your podcast for the best part of 6 years. All the best.
One of the many wishes that we received this week, as we start our 11th year with episode number 524 of The Next Step. Thank you, Dr. Hubble. We appreciate the thoughts, the wishes. We'll be hearing a few others as well as we go through today's show. But for right now, hey, counterintuitive? Armodoxy? Well, he hit it perfectly. So, that's the beginning this week. If you're ready, I know I am. Let's take the next step. The sky is not only above our heads, it extends all the way down to earth. Each time we raise our foot from the ground, we are walking in the sky. You know who said that? Yoko Ono. And I wouldn't know that from a few hours ago, but I happened to be in the Phoenix Central Library. And what is today? It is the summer solstice. Yes, the longest day of the year here in the Northern Hemisphere. And I know all of you listening down under are saying, wait, hold a minute. It's pretty short right now. Yes, you're right. Southern Hemisphere, it happens to be the shortest day of the year. And today is the longest day. And starting tomorrow for us, actually, days start getting shorter. And the celebration of the summer solstice is something unique. Now, the winter solstice, you know, we've talked about that many times. Very special, especially for us in Armenian church, right? Because we base that whole argument on December 25th and January 6th as to whether we celebrated the winter solstice or not. Anyway, that's a whole different story. But think about this. Thousands of years ago, astronomers would look up to the heavens, and they had figured this out. And where? Guess where? In Karahunj. Have you heard of that place? If you haven't heard of Karahunj, definitely check out today's show notes, okay? I'll have something in there. We're going to do a special on that. We did in the past, and we'll do another special. It is just one of those incredible opportunities to learn what the ancients knew so well, and we're just discovering. Isn't that wild? But how about Stonehenge. Now, I know you've heard that. That's very popular. And just this morning, there was, you know, maybe I'd say a good few hundred people assembled at Stonehenge. And there's a few places like this, actually four in the entire world, where you can look, where people have created Carahunge Stonehenge. They've taken these stones, they've drilled holes in them, how they've gotten these holes, and to look up at the astronomical anomalies that are up there, including the solstice today in the Northern Hemisphere, the longest day of the year, when the Earth, based on the tilting of its axis, is closest to the sun, okay? Carahunge, Stonehenge, and now Phoenix Library. You say, wait. You're talking about ancient stuff, and now where do you bring in Phoenix Library? Okay, just bear with me for a few minutes, okay? I promise I'm going to get to it, don't I always, right? But I have to explain. I have an explanation to give because I know some of you, astute enough, are going to say, his voice is coming in differently. What's going on? Did they hit 11 years and they went bankrupt and now they've got these phony baloney mics? No, we don't have phony baloney mics. We are on location today. We are in Phoenix, Arizona. Actually, Tempe, to be exact. Tempe, Arizona. And we are recording here an unusual podcast because, first of all, you know how much I love the desert and to get away. It is a way to get away. It is also the only podcast that we are recording standing up because we don't have the studio. We are actually recording mobily standing up. So the entire podcast is standing up, okay, in 110-degree heat. That too. I should tell you all the tortures that I go through, right? Didn't St. Gregory tell us all the tortures he went through? Okay, this is nowhere near that, but I have to tell you, this is the condition that you're finding me in right now. And we happen to be in Phoenix, Arizona for some work and for a little bit of getaway, but it also happens to coincide with the summer solstice. And while my son was studying here at Arizona State, he was studying architecture, and he told me about this architectural marvel, this library. It's called the Burton Barr Library. It was opened in 1995, and the architect has built this library specifically to accommodate the summer solstice. And I knew about this. I knew that every year on the summer solstice, the architect would come down and actually introduce the summer solstice and would talk about his structure, would talk about this beautiful library. So it just worked out perfectly. And we went down there, Susan and I went down there this morning and sat where I think maybe a few hundred people had assembled. And we watched the summer solstice come in. You say, well, how could you watch this? Yeah, you can watch it. It was incredible. So the way that this library has been set up, he said, to celebrate the light. And he set it up in such a way so that the entire ceiling of this five-story structure is floating. It is floating. And is floating on these pillars that are like candlelight. So candle-like. So when the solstice hits, when the sun hits it, it actually looks like these candles are on fire. Now, I have a few pictures that I took, and I have a really cool little video that I shot of the description. I don't know how we're going to get that out. Maybe we'll do some private little showings here and there. But incredible, phenomenal, when you see how this thing really works, because there we were, just like I could imagine if we were at Stonehenge, if we were at Carahunge, looking up and seeing the position of the sun and where it is, and you're trying to measure it. So what this architect, his name is William Bruder, what he's done is he's created an environment where it actually celebrates that sun. So as the sun is rising to its position where it will be exactly in its closest position to Earth. Okay, I know. Okay, yes, I said it wrong. Give me a break. Okay, don't write me. Don't say, Father Voskan, we do not live in a geocentric universe. No, I know. Yes, I know our solar system is heliocentric. We call it solar system. Yes, I know that. Okay, just a little slip of the tongue. So when the sun appears to be rising, let's just say it that way, when it is the summer solstice at solar noon, it's called, and today that was exactly at 12:30 Arizona time when it hit, and exactly at that moment, we saw a phenomena inside of this building, because it's been built in such a way that if you look on your western wall, you see the shadows. You actually see the shadows of the desert coming up, and you actually see the sun, the sunlight, what he described, kissing the ground. And it was a phenomena. We were just sitting there, and within a few minutes, that sun got up to a point, and the entire light came down all the way to the base of the floor, the room we were sitting in. And it literally kissed the ground to the tune of 10,000 of these light units that he was talking about. And it was just bright, right on the ground, it was bright. But lo and behold, what happened? In front of us, we saw the positioning of the shadow that was caused from these solar panels. Literally, they were the windows. But the positioning was dead center, told us that was the solstice. But here's the fascinating part. Exactly on the opposite wall, the western wall, the same patterns we had seen on the eastern wall were now recreated on the western wall. The same exact identical patterns, namely to say that the sun was directly overhead, dead center, and signaling the beginning of the summer season. The summer solstice had taken place. That was it. It was wild. It was literally wild. It took a while, really, to figure this out, how this is all going to play in. And I think next year, I'm really planning on coming again next year, and I hope for other years we'll be able to come. Maybe we'll do a pilgrimage. How about that? Are you guys up to it? A next step pilgrimage to the summer solstice here in Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona? Oh, man, write that down. Okay, write that down. Next year, June 21st, the pilgrimage. But Here's the fascinating thing about this. As you're watching it, it slowly creeps on you, and you realize that it's taking some time. But the minute that it hits, time is accelerated. And all of a sudden, within a few seconds, which now then become minutes, you see these changes all around you. And you see that acceleration of light as you're moving close to it, and truly it becomes a celebration of that life. And of course, when I talk on these terms, you know that that's taken me to some very sacred, sacred places in Armodoxy, because our whole idea of Armodoxy is that it is beyond those words, beyond those understandings. It's that understanding that light is, you know, at the first order, before anything else. Let there be light, right? And it's not about sun, it's not about moons, it's not about stars, it's about light. It's about that energy. This was wild. It was wild. Okay, mark it down. June 21st, 2019. We're coming to Phoenix, okay? If not here, then we're going to Carahunj. Yes, one or the other, okay? We're going to do one or the other. Anyway, listen, I want to share with you this beautiful scriptural passage. And it comes to us from the book of Sirach. I know some of you are going to say, well, that doesn't exist in my Bible. What did I say? It's scriptural. It means it is in the Bible. It's one of those books that Martin Luther, namely Protestantism, has decided doesn't belong in the Bible. So if you've got a Bible that doesn't have it, it just means that, you know, some church has decided that it doesn't belong there. But of course, the ancient Armenian Orthodox Church, as well as all mainline, the apostolic tradition, we have this book along with several other books. So this book is called The Wisdom of Sirach. And I want to just share with you this little passage, because I was reminded of it today as we were watching the summer solstice. It says, "The splendor of the sun, the pride of the heavenly heights, is the clear firmament. the appearance of heaven in a spectacle of glory, the sun when it appears making proclamation as it goes forth, is a marvelous instrument, the work of the Most High. At noon it parches the land, and who could withstand the burning heat? A man tending a furnace works on burning heat. But the sun burns the mountains 3 times as much. It breathes out fiery vapors, and with bright beams it blinds the eyes. Great is the Lord who made it, and at his command it hastens on its course. You like that? Let me give you a little bit more, okay? Because that same chapter continues. He made the moon also to serve its season, to mark the times, and to be an everlasting sign. From the moon comes the sign for feast days, a light that wanes when it has reached the full. The month is named for the moon, increasing marvelously in its phases, an instrument of the hosts on high, shining forth in the firmament of heaven. The moon, an instrument? Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? The moon, an instrument. You want a little bit more? I want to share a little bit more, okay? The glory of the stars is the beauty of heaven, a gleaming array in the heights of the Lord. At the command of the One Holy, they stand as ordered. They never relax in their watch. Look upon the rainbow and praise Him who made it. Exceedingly beautiful is its brightness. It encircles the heaven with its glorious arc. The hands of the Most High have stretched it out. And this is how that chapter concludes. And I think this is most beautiful. You know, I've shared with you many times about this idea of mystery within the Eastern tradition, especially Eastern Orthodoxy, and especially for Armenian Orthodoxy. Listen to this. Though we speak much, we cannot reach the end. And the sum of our words is He is the All. Where shall we find strength to praise Him? For He is greater than His works. Terrible is the Lord, and very great and marvelous is His power. When you praise the Lord, exalt Him as much as you can, for He will surpass even that. When you exalt Him, put forth all your strength, and do not grow weary, for you cannot praise Him enough. Who has seen Him and can describe Him, or who can extol Him as He is? Many things greater than these lie hidden, for we have seen but few of His works. For the Lord has made all things, and the godly He has granted wisdom. Ah, beautiful. Beautiful. Comes to us from Sirach. Yes, I will definitely have a link on today's show notes. Do check out the entire book of Sirach. It is one of the what Protestants refer to as the apocryphal books. So sometimes you may see a Bible that says including the deuterocanonical, that means the second order of canons, right? Apocryphal means the hidden books. And these were Martin Luther, during the Protestant Reformation, decided that these books did not belong in the Bible. Now, somebody decides, let's take them out. Okay, we take them out. You see how dangerous it is when we just allow it for anybody to just decide on these things? Anyway, fortunately, within the ancient church, within the Orthodox tradition, these books, as well as the Roman Catholic Church, of course, an apostolic church, these books are part of our canon, and these are books that we read and are inspired by us, and they guide us. The summer solstice. One more, how shall we say, evidence, right? One more fingerprint of God. One more proof that there is an order, there is a system, that there is a beauty. And really, it behooves each and every one of us to increase in our faith, to look around, and as the psalmist says, to be still and know that I am God. Now, by way of introduction of this week's song, I want to share with you an email that I received a couple days ago from a dear friend, a friend who I've had the pleasure of knowing and actually working, not on just any project, but probably one of those once-in-a-lifetime projects, namely building a church in Cupertino, California, and that's a friend named Madeline. And she sent me an email a few days ago informing me about the passing of a dear friend. Her friend and acquaintance to me, and I want to think that we were friends in the sense that we maybe not, we didn't know each other that well, but we were certainly serving a purpose other than ourselves when we did have a chance to know one another. He was extremely involved with Armenian music, and perhaps his only passion more than Armenian music was Armenian dance. He instructed generations of people in Armenian dance, particularly folk dancing. And Madeline wrote to me and said that he had just passed away. His name was Mike. Now, I bring this up for a couple reasons. One, to introduce the song of the week, but also to share with you this idea of what this song, what this music is all about, because a few weeks ago, my sister Anish had just gone to Fresno. Now, Fresno, you've got to remember, was even more one of the centers of Armenian life, particularly made famous because of the writings of William Saroyan, made famous to non-Armenians. To the Armenians, however, it was always a very famous, very centrally located in the center of California, centrally located in their lives. Many similarities to the Armenian landscape. There's agriculture. There were a lot of similarities with Armenia. And of course, after the genocide, many families made their way over to the Central Valley in Fresno. My sister had returned back from Fresno a few weeks ago, and she used this expression. She said, "I'm glad I went because it validated my art." And it validates, I think, for me, when she used that word, it just really hit a nerve, that this validation for identity. Identity, whether it's religious, ethnic, or just your personal identity, it is truly belongs to you and nobody else, right? Or so you would think. But many times we allow other factors to hit our identity. And it may not be that we voluntarily give away to it, but it is. There is something to be said about conformity, about conflicts that we have in our lives, conflicts that are created in the situations. And a lot of times, if you don't get the support, whether it's about identity issues or in anything, you're literally tempted to walk away, and you do walk away. And I want to talk to you personally about my experiences. It's been now 20 years that I've returned to Southern California. I was born in Southern California. I went away for 15 years to serve in Northern California. And when I returned, there was a big change in Southern California. Namely, the population of Armenians had grown so much. I want to use the word exponentially. I don't think it was that big, but it had grown so much. And there were different pockets, different ethnic cultures. And unfortunately, what's happened is we've adopted from all of these cultures, and we've forgotten that, you know, all of these are just an amalgam of different cultures. For instance, when you go into Armenian churches, they make you wear those head coverings. Now, you know, St. Paul says, no, women, you already have a head covering. You know, your beautiful hair is there. But they fail to look at that. Why? Because we've been brought up in Muslim countries. And we know that there is tradition in Muslim countries and Muslim culture to cover women, to have those head coverings. So we've adopted that. There's nothing sacred about that. There's nothing special about that. In fact, St. Paul says just the opposite. You know, you have your head covering. But we've adopted and we've accepted that. Now, this is just one of many, many things. For instance, if you sit at some Armenian tables, they'll bring out vodka. Now, vodka has never been a beverage of the Armenian people, a spirit of the Armenian people, I should say. It is my personal spirit of choice if I was sitting at a table, but that doesn't make it Armenian. There's nothing Armenian about it, but many people will fight and say that you can't have an Armenian table without vodka. Yeah, I'm serious about this. I'm serious. And many of the different delicacies that we have, much like Sayat Nova music, you know, we claim Sayat Nova is Armenian, but you know what? So do the Persians. So do the other countries that Sayat Nova is revered. So they claim his music is theirs. Well, this is just because it's called the Middle East. In the Middle East, we have a collection, and because of the political systems in each of these countries, we have wandered from one place to another. We have been uprooted from one place to another, and we have adopted places, adopted cultures and traditions from many places. And a lot of times what we find is because America is this melting pot, people don't give it the credit that it's due, that namely being an American Armenian has something to say too, is part of the mix. Rather, their American Armenians among Armenian communities are looked upon as the stepchildren of the race, so to speak. And so this idea of validation comes up, you know, like who validates us? Who tells us who we are ethnically or what we can be? Well, the only person that can is you. The only person, but we have because we've relinquished that right, we have allowed others to make that decision for us. Oh, well, you are only an American Armenian. What is that supposed to mean? Or for instance, I get it all the time. People come up to me and they say, oh, you speak beautiful Armenia. Now, how could it be that you're born in America? You must be born somewhere else. I say, no, I'm born in America. Well, but you speak good Armenian. And I say, and where were you born? And they'll tell me, like, you know, Iraq. They'll tell me Iran. They'll tell me Lebanon. And I'll say, okay, and how is it that you speak beautiful Armenian? You speak good Armenian, too. I mean, you're not, somehow we want to believe that, ideally, yes, the person who speaks Armenian should be coming from Armenia, but obviously we've created diaspora. But for some reason, it's really unusual that from America somebody could keep their ethnic ties to Armenian. But somehow elsewhere, despite that there are Muslim countries, sometimes that's not surprising, whether it's Iran, Iraq, Syria, or Jordan, or Lebanon, all of these places, they were all part of the diaspora. So what happened here in Fresno, what happened here in America, a lot of the Armenians came, and they came after the genocide. This is like the first generation, the first wave of Armenians that came. And they brought with them a very unique music, a style of music that comes to us from the Middle East, that really speaks to the people. If you listen to it, and the piece I'm going to play for you today is a very bluesy number. You'll feel it when you play it. Well, think about it. After the genocide, these are young kids, young people coming here and transferring their culture. So it's in that spirit that I want to do it, and dedicate it to a young man. He was always young in spirit. His name was Mike Salakian. A little dedication to him. This is Richard Hagopian. I hope you enjoy it. Sırdis vara karmaga. Ah, did I tell you it was going to be bluesy? Did I capture it right? Is this like Armenian blues or what? Sırdis vara karmaga. There is a stone on my heart. There's a heaviness on my heart. I am heavy-hearted. Yeah, it doesn't get any finer, right? When you talk about Armenian blues. This is from Richard Hagopian, is the performer. These are some of the older songs. This actually comes from an album called The Best of Armenian Folk Music by Richard Hagopian. There'll be a link on today's show notes. Do check out not only this song, but a lot of his music. He was a staple. He still is a main staple in our home. Love his music. And it's interesting because you listen to The Next Step and we don't play too much of it, right? And again, it goes with this entire discussion we're having about identity as well as validation of identity. And I shared with you a few thoughts before as an introductory remark to this song and the passing of a gentleman who was really involved in promoting this Armenian music, this Armenian dance that goes with these songs. As I have to say, growing up with genocide survivors, namely my grandparents, in the house, we'd play this music and they would relate, they would sing aloud with him to the records that we'd have. And we had a collection of 78 records. Now that's, I know, 78 is like the precursor to the 33 to the 45, each of these genres excuse me, I'm just thinking about these huge records we used to have. Actually, I still have a few of them. They would crack. These would be the kind that Three Stooges would use. They'd like throw it on their head and it would break. These would break. They were made out of whatever the material was. They literally break. And 78 RPMs, revolutions per minute on the turntable. They go, psh, they go round and round. And some of the early settlers from Armenia, from post-genocide times, coming here to America, people like Manuk Janigian, you heard of them? Well, big time. These were big time people, and they would come and they brought this music with them. And it was so special that they brought this music. They didn't let it die there, along with the people and the culture. And, you know, one day I definitely will do a show on this music, because I was even more excited a few months ago. We went to a program at Abril. I can't remember his name. I want to say it was Antranik. Anyway, I will get some more information. Maybe we can even do a show where we do an interview, because this is all about, not only about music, but it's about the validation of identity. So many times we look for other people to validate our experiences rather than accepting that our experiences are our own. And that's enough of a validation. That's enough of a validation. But of course, peer pressure, people coming on us, people talking. I mean, you've been in that situation too, right? Where people look at you like, hey, what's going on? And you have to be a very strong individual to be able to stand up and say, hey, this is mine. Take it or leave it. This music that I just played, Richard Hagopian, he is one of those pioneers who brought it. I've shared with you in the past, John Bilozikian, I've shared with you in the past, many different musicians who have brought over. Now, what makes it uniquely Armenian? It isn't uniquely Armenian. It crosses boundaries, as does Armadoxy. Do you see how it all fits in? I remember a few years ago, it was 2009, exactly. I was invited to Holy See of Etchmiadzin, where there was a meeting of the priests, not the bishops, but the priests. This is on the feast of Revontians, and this was in February, in the cold of February, and there was 400 of us. And right about that time, they were discovering these hidden Armenians. Do you remember that story about the hidden Armenians in Turkey? These were Armenians who were sort of left behind. They're Armenian, but they've gotten into the Turkish culture. Many of them have been converts to Islam and so on. And there was a question about this at the clergy meeting, at the priest meeting. And His Holiness, Karakin II, the Catholicos, was presiding over this meeting. And a question was given, like, are these people Armenian? And people started talking about, well, you know, they can't be Armenian if these conditions, that conditions, are they Christian, are they, and so on, and so many different conditions. And His Holiness really gave such a simple, and I have to say, a profound answer to that question. What is an Armenian? He said, if the person says he's Armenian, he's Armenian. Self-validation. You want to be Armenian? You say it. That's it. I know we have all kinds of tests now, right? You go and you send in a swab of your saliva and they could check out your genes and they'll tell you this. No. Save the money. You want to be Armenian? Just say it. In a sense, it's very profound. And I mean, it's very philosophical as well. It's not your average answer. People don't accept that all the time. But you know what? Imagine if you are that person saying, I am Armenian. That's it. What more validation do you need? And same with this music. I mean, I grew up on this music. I love this music. And I wanted to share it with you, especially at the passing of Mike Salakian. So God rest his soul, and God give comfort to all of the family and friends. And I hope you enjoyed that small little sidebar that we took as we explored some of the aspects of identity. Well, as you heard at the beginning of today's show, we are starting our 11th year of podcasting. Can you believe that? 11 years. Every week we've put out the next step for the last 11 years. We are on episode number 524, so just do the math. Divide it by 52 and you got 10 years, right? 10 years, we're starting our 11th year. So here we go. I want to share with you some of the expressions that you shared with us, and I really, really appreciate it. We had a gathering in Los Angeles, actually in Pasadena at Der Wolf on Monday night, which was the exact anniversary of the next step. It was 10 years ago that we put out that first edition, that first episode, and that was so much fun. We got through 10 years. We recorded in all kinds of places and all kinds of environments. I have to admit, yeah, today is the first one we're doing standing up, and that's because where we're at, there's no chairs, but we are remotely recording today. But we've done it in some really wild places, including in Armenia. We've been in Argentina. We have recorded in London. We have recorded in the desert, by the beach, by the ocean, just all kinds of places. And we've had a large variety of different guests, as well as quite a diverse selection of topics. We've covered all kinds of topics, but in the end, it's always been about what's the center of our faith? What is the true faith? Not in a sense of, hey, look at me, I'm better than you, but what is it that we aspire to as people, as human beings? It's about asking the questions. And I want to start off with that before I'm going to play for you some of the nice responses. Well, there were no bad ones. Some of the nice little comments that we got. But I wanted to share this with you. And please listen very carefully, because I cannot emphasize enough to you that what has evolved as the next step over the last 10 years is really something that is a process. And don't be scared of that evolution. Because when we first started the next step, it was always about asking the questions. Those of you who remember back in those days, we used to hold Bible studies. The name of the Bible study was called Questions in Faith. Yes, I know people said, well, we want a Bible study. And I said, okay, you want a Bible study? We're going to question. We have those questions. Okay. And you say, well, that's what really the next step is really about. It's about those finding those questions. Listen to what happened today. While we were sitting in the library, okay, I'm waiting for the summer solstice, and my eye catches what's on the rack. It's the Harvard Business Review. It is dated March, April 2018. Okay, just a couple months old. The March, April edition of the Harvard Business Review. Okay, you ready for this? The cover story is about better brainstorming. Better brainstorming. Okay, like, you know, how are we going to move forward, right? Better brainstorming. So I opened it up. It kind of intrigued me. I said, well, let's see, what's the better brainstorming? Are you ready for this? Better brainstorming. Focus on questions, not answers, for breakthrough insights. This is like 10 years later, 10 years after we started doing this on the next step. Now the Harvard Business Review says it, and of course everybody, you know, these people are paying millions of dollars for this. Now if you want to just send me like a check for $500,000, that's fine if you learn this from me. But listen to this. Better brainstorming. Focus on questions, not answers, for breakthrough insights. It was beautiful. Beautiful. Yes, I'm glad. But that's what we've been doing all along. It's not about the answers that someone else is going to give to you, but it's the answers that you find when you open your heart, when you open your soul to God, because God speaks to each of us. I've shared with you in the past about this koan, in a sense, or it's really the challenge of the Buddhist. It says, if you see the Buddha in the road, kill him. What? Wait. What happened to nonviolence? Now, this isn't about violence, nonviolence. It's about if you find somebody along the road who's going to tell you how to live, forget it, man. Forget it. You have to find that. You can find that. Open your heart, open your soul, open yourself to the true questions that are all around you. And don't be scared to ask those questions. Don't be scared of faith. Don't be scared of God. Ask those questions. You grow by asking those questions. So I saw this in the Harvard Business Review. And like I said, we were sitting in the the library getting ready for the summer solstice experience, and I said, okay, let me thumb through this as quick as I can. And I'm going through the pages because, of course, we're in Phoenix and I can't check this out because we're in a different place. All right, are you ready for this? The last page, there's a picture of Jane Fonda. What does she have to say? Are you ready for this? It says, God comes to us through our scars and our wounds. Not our awards and our acclamations. Jane Fonda! God comes to us through our scars and our wounds. What have we talked about? What has the next step been about? That's the journey that we've been on, and that's the journey that we continue as we start year number 11. And so last Monday night, on exactly the anniversary, we got together at a place called Durwolf. We had some drinks. We had some meze, which is a fancy name for hors d'oeuvres. Or is it vice versa? Hors d'oeuvres is a fancy name for meze. Basically appetizers. We sat around. We toasted. We reminisced. We remembered some of the old times. Had a chance to thank people, especially Susie, our producer. We had a chance to thank so many of you who pray and keep us going through your support and the love that you have for us. So it was just a very, very special evening. We will have a link on today's show notes that will take you to the pictures, to the story that was of what was going on Monday night. It was just a great, great time. I have to tell you personally, it was very fulfilling, spiritually and emotionally. And with that, I want to thank so many of you who took the time to share with us some of your comments. I'd like to play for you those comments. And thank you as you listen to them. At the beginning of today's show, you heard Dr. Harry Hagopian, who by all rights is a podcaster himself, commentator, analysis. We'll even put a link on today's show notes so you can check out all the wonderful things he writes about and comments on. But he commented on the next step, and really, true to form, he encapsulated what we're all about. So we start off with him and share with you a few other comments that we got along the way. Here's a little collection. Then thank you so much for these kind words.
You push the envelope. You are counterintuitive, and I think we need a dose of that every now and then to get us out of our drudgery, out of our own thoughts and perceptions.
Hey everyone, it's Ani Bubbles here. I'm so excited to be wishing you a happy 10-year anniversary for The Next Step. It's so hard to believe that so much time has passed and we still have new podcasts coming out every week. So excited, happy anniversary, and looking forward to many, many more years of great podcasts to come.
This is Susan. I just want to say that it's absolutely incredible that 10 years have gone by and every single week we've had a recording and had the beautiful messages come into our home. And I thank God every day for the blessings in our lives, which we have an abundance of. And thank you, Dear Voskin and Susie, for producing The Next Step and bringing the message of God and God's love to the world. God bless you, and maybe go for 10 more years, 20 more years. Thank you.
Im amena pari machtanero merder hayrun der masken invol nicht aroch la yev sharnage as amena med oftagan bardagan tuner bolgan mer kolor chat kurakhatsne yev shat anneman korzer gane er hayro gmachtem o nicht aroch urakh la yev sharnage as zrakira eshnoravorem yev shat daline.
Hi, my name is Yippie. I am just blessed to be in this group and so happy, and I just hope it keeps going forever. Amen.
Lida Stipat.
Yes, congratulations. Happy 10th anniversary of podcast. I love it every time, every week. I look forward to hearing. Thank you, Dear Vasgen.
Congratulations, Dear Vasgen, on your 10-year anniversary of the podcast. It's always wonderful to listen to. I always learn something new. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Շնորհավորում եմ Տեր Վազգեն, անչափ ուրախ եմ, որ կարողանում եմ ձեզ հետ նույն հարկի տակ այս ամբողջը ուրախությունը կիսել։ Շատ շնորհակալ եմ, որ իմացել եմ ձեզ և հետևում եմ ձեզ։ Ուրախ լավ բարեմ աղթանքներ։
Hi, my name is Anna, and congratulations and all the best to you and to Susan and to your entire family. And I just wanted to say thank you for creating this wonderful island of spirituality in our busy and overwhelmed Glendale. And thank you for sending the waves of spirituality across the oceans to all the different continents on which you have readers. And thank you also for bringing together such a wonderful group of people. Thank you so much and all the best.
I just want to take this opportunity to thank Dear Vasgen and his family for spreading the word of God and all the love and the blessings that he bestows upon all of us. And I pray that the In His Shoe ministry continues for many, many more years, and it continues to spread God's word and his love. God bless you, Dear Vasgen, and God bless everyone in this group and the family for the good work they do.
I have something to say as a new employee of Dear Vasgen's
group. I'm so excited to work for the most amazing human alive.
Thank you.
Dear Vasgen is more than inspirational. He breaks down what is very difficult for us to understand into a journey. He takes us on a journey with every podcast. We're blessed to be in his presence, and we're proud to represent his work.
Father Vasgen, we love you. We love your teachings. You make everything sound so simple and beautiful. I wish all the priests could learn from you how to teach the Bible. We love you, and God bless you.
This is your sister, Sana. I'm just very proud of you. I love you, and we're always there to back you up in all your adventures. Thank you.
Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vasgen.
Well, there you have it. We have officially kicked off year 11 of the Next Step. We are starting to broadcast. This is the first one of year 11. And thank you very much for all your support. And remember, your prayers. That's what makes it happen. Big thank you to Susie for that announcement. And just thank you in general for putting this together. It's been a joint effort. And even today, as I'm doing this podcast, standing up, I know that when I finish, it's going to be hitting that button, sending it off, and knowing that it's going to get taken care of and be up on the internet, distributed to all of you. Can't thank her enough, as well as all of you, for your kindness, your generosity, your prayers, and those comments. Wow! And just please, for the record, unsolicited comments, okay? Thank you very much. God bless you all. And the emails that I got, just want to thank you all for sharing those beautiful thoughts with me. And I'm very touched. I'm humbled. And I really realize that we have such an opportunity. God is giving us this opportunity to reach out places that we otherwise couldn't. So thank you and God bless. I'm going to call it a day right now because I do need to sit down. And I think that this air conditioning, you got to remember that over here right now in Arizona, we're at 112 degrees and you survive by going from one air conditioned environment to the other, one to the other. And in between, as you're transferring, you're being hit by this 112 dry heat. And I think it's affected my nasal capacities, namely my allergies. I think scratchy throat. Is that? Yeah. Okay. Let's call it a day, okay? I hope you enjoyed today's podcast as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. Want to thank Ken, background guy. We missed you the other night. Thank you so much. Nobody puts these podcasts together the way you do. Thank you very much, and God bless. So on behalf of the wonderful team who has put together all of these podcasts for the last 10 years, Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Boskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
You're seeing the same sky as we are.